not by trying to be like Christ, but allowing Christ to be himself in us and through us, which we've talked about the last two times I've come here and we've done a conference. So the fullness of Christ and the likeness of Christ is what we're after. Therefore, that should be true in who we are when we're by ourselves, who we are in character, in the quietest moments in our thought life, in relationship where nobody else sees, but also in what we do in our service of Christ. It should look like Christ. Christ's likeness should cover the whole thing. It's a supernatural life from the inside out. That's our plumb line. That's the thing we're going after, the fullness of Christ and his likeness. Therefore, cultivating his presence is our priority. Life for me in the public place is not the most important thing to me. Everything that God wants to do through me in the public place, the anointing is carried out from my life in the secret place. His presence. I said this to you a little bit earlier, but true ministry, a true ministry of Christ, whether you're a teacher or you're moving primarily into prophetic or you're moving in healings or whatever, the true ministry of Christ flows out of true intimacy with Christ. You just can't fake it. Acts, I'll read these few verses to you. Acts chapter 4. Verse 13, as Peter and John sat before the council, it says, and now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. And they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. I'm all for training. Hear me. Educate as much as we can. But if they haven't been with Jesus and don't carry the anointing of a Christ-like ministry, the rest of it's irrelevant. And then, of course, Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark 3, 14. And he appointed 12... that they may be with him, that he might send them out to preach. He didn't first send them out to preach. He first called them to be with him. So true ministry flows out of true intimacy with Christ. And so that has to be our focus. That's my priority. I can't get my self-worth met out of prophetic stuff or any other ministry. We just came... Dan and Deborah were with us since we were here last. I told you some African stories. I'll tell you some Brazilian stories because we were in Brazil the last part of September and the first part of October. And I'd never been there to do ministry. I'd been there before, but not to do ministry. We'd been to other places, been to Africa, places in the States. And so I was a little bit apprehensive. I was not walking a lot of faith about what God might do, though I know that Brazil is a very ripe place, but there's no place I've ever seen ripe like Africa. They're just so desperate, they don't have any backup plan but God. So there's this pull, they pull on the anointing. You don't have to push much, they just pull on the anointing. And so I'd even heard stories from very credible people who had been to Brazil ministering, who said that they normally experience about 50% of the people they prayed for get healed. And so I'm praying, oh God, these are people who are like world famous, and man, we're not able to not get anywhere close to that. But I would say it was any different than Africa. I would say somewhere between 80 and 90% of the people we prayed for got healed. And we prayed for so many people, and Dan would probably do a better job of giving you an estimate of what happened, but there were thousands of people who got healed. And a lot of the healings happened early on because we were ministering to a whole bunch of people at a time. And what we do was like here. We were just dividing up in lines, people getting in the lines. And we were getting through 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. We were eating dinner at 1:15 in the morning. And so the Lord finally spoke to me one day, just start giving words of knowledge. And so we started using, and words of knowledge is a part of the prophetic thing. And so we just started giving words of knowledge. And so the people would like, I just really sense there's some people with knees here or some ladies this, that, and the other. And we'd start doing that, and people would just jump up. And many of them got healed as they stood up. And one, I didn't know this little simple thing. We were having dinner and the Patriarch's Council Orlando. We were, Livy and I were sitting with the Patriarch and with the Brazilians who came. And one of them was Bishop Andre and his wife. And we were just, they were telling stories, more stories than I even knew. It was just awesome. I was so excited. And the wife, Andre's wife, says, oh, she can't speak English, but they were translating. I had this issue with itchy, running eyes. It just wouldn't stop. And you gave a word about rich, itching, running eyes. I stood up. I got healed. I never had a problem since then. Also, that night at that table, Archbishop Garcia had told us he had two nodules on his thyroid. They'd already tested them. They had found them there, but they also found them to be benign. But as you know, anything that affects your thyroid affects your metabolism. And so he was having some real issues of being weary and sluggish, and he was scared. He was just frightened. And so we all gathered around, and Bishop Bates prayed. We prayed for him. He went to go have his surgery that was already planned the next Tuesday. And I got this Facebook message from them that he went there, and they're gone. No surgery. They just disappeared. And I just happened at that table, hearing that story and seeing what God did. And I'll tell some more Brazilian stories. But we just saw the Lord do amazing things. Thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Thousands and thousands of people got healed. So we pray. We'll see the manifestation of God's healings and words of knowledge that'll happen here tonight and tomorrow. And just see what God does. Okay? Just to encourage you. But we'll tell some fun stories. But during that whole time, I spent my whole time in between ministering just in the Word, just seeking His presence. Being reminded over and over again of Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and He's in all. Yeah, I remember driving in the van one night. We were going to minister and somebody told us we're going to be in this little private room and there's a lot of blind people we're going to be praying for. And so I'm up front. There's a driver, all the teams behind me, so they can't see this look on my face. And I'm thinking, blind people. And so I'm going, God, blind people, why blind people? And we're doing so well. And so I'm getting nervous about the blind people, and the Lord just speaks to me, and He said, again, that verse, He said, I'm all, and I'm in all. I'm in you. I'm all. Blindness isn't all. Cancer isn't all. Arthritis isn't all. Heart condition is not all. I'm all. And man, just brought such peace. And I can tell you this story. We would have had one man who came in off the streets with three other people. And they had AIDS. And he was blind. And he walked out of that building seeing. Jesus is all. And I just renewed my mind in the whole thing that I'm filled with the fullness of Christ. It's His ministry. Lord, it's Your presence is the most important thing. And if not one person gets healed, it's in Your presence. There's fullness of joy. At Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But one of the things about the prophetic, I believe with all my heart, because what God told me about going up in the heavens and then coming back down and going up, you know, when I draw blanks sometimes is when I don't do that. When intimacy instead of ministry becomes my priority. And so in the Song of Solomon, it talks about having dove's eyes behind the veil. And what I've learned is that the more time I spend behind the veil in the secret place, I cultivate dove's eyes. I can see what the Holy Spirit sees when I move out beyond the veil in the public ministry. Alrighty? God's a communicator. Jesus referred to Himself as a door, as the Word, and in Revelation 1, as the voice. He communicates. It says in Deuteronomy 8 that we live by the words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God, and prophecy is one of the ways He does that. It says in John 10, verse 3, verse 4, verse 16, verse 27, just in that one chapter, my sheep hear my voice. And so every one of you are wired. It comes with standard equipment, the ability to hear God's voice. And that includes the prophetic. You may not be have the office of a prophet or even the ministry of the prophet. But you will have situations where you can move in the prophetic because the Word, and we live by the Word, our faith is in the Word. The Word said you all may prophesy. So all of you have the potential. Paul said, I wish that you would prophesy more. That's what he says. And so you're all wired to hear God's voice. And God's voice comes in lots of different ways, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Comes in clear prophetic things. They're kind of a mystery. But also dark sayings like visions and dreams. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. There's nothing mystical about that to God. Also, didn't Jesus actually say, we're charismatics, use you this verse, but we can't just say it, we have to actually do it. Didn't Jesus say in John 14, verse 10, he said, the works that I do, don't you know that I'm in the Father? We talked about this, I think, the last time. The Father's in me. He says, it's the Father doing his works through me. And in that same chapter, he talks about once Pentecost comes, that we would be in him and he would be in us, just like he had been in the Father and the Father had been in him. And so two verses after that verse, when he says, the Father does his works through me, he says, greater works shall you do. It's the same context. You're going to do the greater works. Well, where are they? Let's at least go for it. Let's at least him find faith on the earth when he comes again, right? Yeah. Well, what if I fail? Well, la-di-da. But there's, if you do the prophetic, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but there may be like, you know, it could get kind of messy. It could get poopy. But our motto is, if you're not willing to have any poop, you're not going to have any power. Now, you just don't do poop to have poop, you know? You don't promote poop. But if you don't have an oxen in the stall, you don't have any harvest in the field. And you know what oxen's do when they're in the stall? Poop. So again, you don't promote it. You clean it up. You do what you got to do. But we're so over-policed things. Don't let me scare you about that. I'm going to tell you, we've been doing this for a lot of years, and we rarely have any real issues. We've got a few funny stories. But we don't like have, you know, every Sunday we have the potential of 20, 25 people. We just lot them up, young people, not even letting the adults do it. So we have lots of adults who are prophetic, who just move in the prophetic. Nothing's weird. It's all very mature. It's very accurate. It edifies. It does all kinds of cool stuff in people's lives. But if we're going to live in fear, see, we said we're New Testament Christians, and let's do the New Testament. No more excuses. Right? Let's be New Testament Christians. One of Bishop Bates' favorite scriptures is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Kind of describes the way the church God created is supposed to work. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but just show you some things. But it's not just 42. You got to go through verse 47 to see the whole thing he's trying to say. And they were continually devoting themselves. Now, hear those words. The language is they were radically, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. And there's a lot about that, and some of you already know it. To the breaking of bread, Eucharist, and to the prayers. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And he goes on and on and on. Well, one of the things about the early church, they were signs and wonders church. God's original church in the manual that lets us know what the church is supposed to look like was a signs and wonders church. That's not a super deluxe model. It's not for the wackadoodles. It's normal, brown bag, everyday Christianity. It's Christ-likeness. Because you read the Gospels and you tell me that part of Jesus' everyday life and ministry wasn't signs and wonders? Did he walk in holiness? Yeah, that was just there all the time. But it popped out in the supernatural ministry too. And my purpose, you got awesome leaders. your clergy, Bishop Mike, is, I respect him as much as anybody in the world. He's just awesome. He's one of the real heroes in the CEC. And everybody in the CEC is awesome, but he's one of the ones that God's called to make sure we don't forget it's the river we're after. It's really important. So for those of you who don't know about him, your bishop, when he's out there being the bishop, doing the thing beyond the diocese, he's out there trying to protect, fighting for the authenticity of the life and ministry of Christ. We're a Signs and Wonders church. If we don't, we're just a philosophical church, just trying to win arguments all the time. When we were in Brazil, one of the bishops there, Frederico, he would remind me of telling the story. Neat, wonderful young bishop. Going through a really hard time, had been for a while. And we just prayed for him. And again, I'm not a screamer. I'm not running around. I can't run around much, but I'm not good at running. But twice, and the second time, maybe for 45 minutes an hour, he's just out on the floor. Nobody pushed him on the floor. The Holy Spirit just put him under some anesthetic and is doing some holy surgery. You'll read it in Scripture. Sometimes when people get in the glory of God, they just go out because they can't deal with it. And then God, you know, when he created Eve, he sort of put Adam out because he didn't want Adam's advice. And I think he does that with us too. He just wants to do some stuff in a quiet place. But that doesn't make you more spiritual if that happens to you. Are you with me? As we pray for you this week, I think I've told you this before, we don't need any courtesy falls. We don't walk away going, yeah, man, we got 14 people fell out in the Spirit. I don't care. I just want you to encounter God. And people encounter God when you read the Scriptures. And Frederico was just laid there. All of his clergy and the diocese were walking around him and stuff. But he woke, he got up a transformed person. There were just some things God needed to do and heal. Okay? So if I can do one more thing. I'm going to read this to you. We'll come back and look at it tomorrow, but this is just because I want us to do ministry. And again, you just have to use, whenever I've taught all this, I've taught it more, not in an academic setting, but like a seminar setting where people come and they're just, so I hope this is okay. This is helping your, it's ministering to you. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Here's what it says. I've heard people say this all the time. Don't seek the gift, seek the giver. Nonsense. Bible didn't say that. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. It doesn't say, and please be open to the gifts of the Spirit. Desire earnestly. And the language there that's written in is in the present tense, an imperative. It's a command to do constantly. So we pursue and desire the gifts and the giver. The giver has all the gifts, and it really breaks his heart when you want just him and not all the cool things he's done for you. If I've gone on a long trip when my kids were little, and I came home, and I'd bought all kinds of cool stuff for them, and they just said to me, oh, Dad, we're so glad to have you. I said, I got some cool stuff for you. No, we don't really care about that, Dad. We're just so glad you're here. Well, that may make me feel good, but I'd go, yeah, but I've been excited for 4 days now. 36-hour flight about giving you this stuff. No, we don't really want it, Dad. Or to say, Dad, look, what is it? And I explain to Dad, friends might, well, that might be embarrassing. No, we don't really want it. But I paid a huge price for it. See, I think that's part of what that scripture in the Psalms is saying. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He carries in his presence all kinds of pleasures, and the gifts are part of that. The word is just grace. They're just part of the graces of God. Really? Don't you want all of it? I mean, if he thinks it's good, if he bought it for you, don't you think it'd be good for you? Don't you think it brings him pleasure for you to walk in it? Does he want that more than you want him? No. But why do we have to separate the two? His hand represents his blessing and favor. Do we want just God without arms? No hands? It's a ridiculous argument. I understand why we do it, because we've met people, we've known of people. Their whole world is about signs and wonders. Their identity is about signs and wonders. Their ministry is about nothing but signs and wonders. It brings in the money, gives them credibility. I understand all that. Forget all that. Let's just start new, okay? Let's have a fresh slate. Let's just say what the Scripture says. Desire earnestly. It's a command. You don't get to think about it. It's not an option for you. Well, this is not for me. Really? He can't tell you this because he's your pastor. I can tell you this, then you're in disobedience. If you believe the Bible, it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly. Not passively. Desire earnestly. Go after. And especially that you would prophesy. It's God's will for each of us to desire earnestly to move in all the grace that he has for us. And he said, prophetic is right up there. Why? Because it brings such edification. It can be such evidence of his presence. And it's the entree gift. It's the easiest gift to walk in. It'll open the door for everything else. Anyway, we'll look at that more tomorrow. Oh, by the way, what is prophecy? Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's just a testimony of Jesus. It's just one of the evidences that real prophetic isn't a show thing. You with me? For the televangelist. It's a testimony that Christ is in our midst in very tangible ways. I don't know about you, but I'm still human. And it's nice when God touches me in ways that I can hear in English. It's very practical, right? And we're going to discover tomorrow that one-third of the Bible is about prophecies and prophetic dreams and prophetic visions. One-third. So if you don't want to move in those things, just cut out. Get big scissors and just cut out about a third of your Bible. We'll see more of that. Okay? So, enough talking. Let's just go for it. Right? We'll do what we normally have done. We'll just minister to you some prophetically. Alrighty? And then we're going to ask people who need prayer, but I'm also going to give some words of knowledge. And just some things that people can come up with that too. We might move in some words of knowledge about people God wants to heal. But we'll pray for before this weekend's over with, you come, we'll pray for everybody who's here. If we need to pray for you more than once, we'll pray for you more than once. All righty? Okay?
Yes.
You still like me?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you I got healed of that. I just said that God shouldn't have called me in the prophetic. Now, people like Olivia and Deborah, they should have been called in the prophetic. Because I don't really care if you like them or not. Or maybe Deborah does, but Olivia doesn't. No, so. All righty. Well, come, y'all. You all. Is y'all a word in Kansas?
Yes.
Sort of. Oh, thank you. Sort of. It's in Missouri. Maybe not Kansas. Oklahoma? Okay. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence here. Here's a cool verse. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to quote it to you. We'll do this Sunday morning. We'll do a little bit something different Sunday, but it'll be fun. But I'm going to quote it to you the way it should be translated. And the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in everything may abound to everything you put your hand to. That's a pretty cool verse. 2 Corinthians 9:8. So Lord, we thank you for the all grace and that we have right now, every person here, this team, the all sufficiency of an indwelling and ever-present Christ. In this context, as this comes under the category of an everything.